Warning: the following auditory experience may contain themes of an adult nature. The opinions expressed are those of the podcasters and not of their respective employers, parents, and/or legal guardians. Content may not be appropriate for children, small animals, work, and your mom. Enjoy the show. We're not going to take it anymore. Welcome, everybody, to episode 15 of Bad Parenting Podcast. I'm Justin.
And I'm the in-studio guest.
And what would your name be, Mr. In-Studio Guest? Because you're obviously not Jody.
Well, you know...
That or Jody had an operation this week that really went way wrong, and they hit the wrong side of her body.
This is Jody's new voice since her nose job.
Yeah, that's a... That's nowhere near as hot in bed as I wanted to be there, man. So,
I was graciously invited to be the in-studio guest. My name is Chris.
Well, you're actually graciously accepted, too. Did me a big favor there, so that's good. But yes, Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson.
As I like to nickname you there. But right. Chris, how have things been?
Good. I always swore I'd never beat my children.
Yeah, okay. You don't want to beat your children, okay. But yet, you're beating them?
No. It's been a hard 12 hours.
Okay. Oh, boy. Yeah, I know when that happens. All right. So, anyways, yes, as you can tell, Jody's not here. She had her sinus surgery this week, and everything did go okay with the procedure, but she is not in any condition yet to actually speak for any length of time without really freaking out about the pain. They did some serious, like, literally, you ever see one of those guys out there jackhammering? And, well, you do construction, so I know you do. You've ran one, breaking apart concrete and blowing shit up. Yeah, he did that inside her nose and her sinus passages, so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, she said it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. The parts that she remembers, anyways, they have her on some pretty good drugs. So.
Well, she told me they gave her crappy drugs.
The after drugs, yeah, they haven't been all that great, but the stuff they had to knock her out and whatnot, she was out of it there.
The stuff that you get to go down with,
you don't remember much of anything.
Yeah.
Life or,
nothing.
Who you are.
I mean, a short aside on that, I had a hernia operation in 2010, and they checked me in and doped me up at about 20 minutes to 10, and I woke up at 1:37. And went.
Where the fuck am I?
Are we done?
What's going on? Is this real life?
I'm like, I don't even, the doctor said start counting backwards from 10. I'm like, you're kidding. It's not going to happen that fast, is it? 9, 8, I don't remember 7.
I'm surprised you got to 8. I think I got to 9 and that was it.
That was some good stuff they gave me.
Yeah, when I had my tonsil surgery, I'm pretty sure I only made it to 9 and that was the end of it, so.
Yeah, 10, duh.
Donk, it was over with. I was done. I was out for the count. So anyways, Chris is a guest, but not only is he a guest, he's also a parent too. I actually do my research and make sure that when I invite people on the show that they're actually parenting or affiliated with being a parent somehow or some way, so I'm not that amateurish.
Well, okay.
Yeah. But no, how far back do you and I go? 96, 97, something like that?
It's got to be, it's either 97 or 98. I want to think 98 because...
There was a computer store.
There was a computer store, and you started working there in the fall of 98, didn't you?
I think it was something like that. Maybe 90. I don't know. I know
it might have been 99, but...
No, it wasn't 99. I know that.
I think that... Because my Christmas present from my wonderful wife, April, was a 2x4 out of the back of my truck, and it had the word mother written on it.
I thought maybe she just hit you upside the head because, you know, you're being a jackass that day, as, you know, is par for the course sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding, right? And it took me the longest time to figure out. In fact, as a matter of fact, I had to ask her what the hell it was. I get a wrapped 2x4 that says mother on it. I don't get it.
Dense. Dense much?
I'm blonde.
Yeah. That's all right. When Jody let me know about Trent, she had Tempe wearing a t-shirt that said, "I'm the big sister." I got home, brought home dinner, unpacked dinner because we had Chinese food that night. Get it laid out there. Everything's golden. I'm setting everything up. We're sitting down there eating. And finally, Jody's like, "So, Tempe, do you like the shirt you're wearing today?" She's like, "Yeah, it's a really cool shirt," and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just, you know, inhaling fucking Chinese food. Like, nothing's going on. And Ezra's giggling over there. And Jody's like, "Jesus, Justin, really? Are you that fucking dense?" I'm like, maybe. What's up? And then she's like, "Temperance, stand up." And so she stands up in her chair and I read it. I'm like, "Oh, really?" And I look at Jody. She's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Okay." And I put another piece of, sweet sour chicken in my mouth. She's like, "Okay, then." That was the end. It took a while for it to actually set in and what was going on. I mean, after about 5 minutes or so, I was like, "Oh, okay, let's see here. That's going to be this bill and that much money." No.
Right, exactly. There goes another $300,000 in my life.
Easily. So,
you know how long I could live in, you know, like Morocco or, you know, someplace with a nice beach for $300,000?
A long time. Well, it depends on how many prostitutes you get.
They're cheap down there, too.
Yeah, only if you go for the Walmart level. I mean, if you're looking to catch something, when you get the cheap prostitutes, you got to factor in the penicillin.
Well, yeah, but penicillin's cheap everywhere, but in this freaking country.
That's true. We'll just put a pin in that one, though. We don't want to go political on the show.
Yeah.
So, no, Chris and I, yes, we go back to, like, 97, 98, then there was the dark period. I'm not going to really want to get into the dark period this podcast episode. That's something for another show or another time.
Yeah, we're not going to delve into that except for that.
He went Voldemort for a while.
Voldemort's not even close. And, you know, full on stupid is what I went.
Yeah. I'll still just label it Voldemort for a while and leave it at that.
Yeah.
But you are a dad. Christopher, little Chris, is now 13, 12?
12. He's only been 12 for not even six months yet.
Yeah, but he looks like he's 18. I mean, this kid is fucking huge. I can no longer refer to him as little Chris because I have to look up to his dumbass.
Yeah, there's that. And, you know, Justin actually renamed him the artist formerly known as little Chris. It was really cool.
Yeah. I had to do something because it was not a fitting moniker anymore.
No, he's a happy go lucky 5'11" at 12 and a half years old
with size 15 fucking shoes.
Oh, by the way, you know, so you got him a pair of shoes last summer before school started.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thank you for that at the time. I thank you for that again because he's still wearing those shoes and those shoes are still intact, which means I'm probably going to buy another pair of Adidas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I found out long ago that buying the cheap shoes, it doesn't save you any money because you just end up buying more pairs of them, especially with at least with my kids. And little Chris seems to be the same way. Some kids you can get by with the cheap shoes and they'll be okay with them and they'll last the same amount of time. But especially with Ezra, it doesn't happen. I buy the cheap shoes and I get the cheap shoe lifespan out of them and that's about it. So,
well, and I don't even buy cheap shoes. The ones I'm wearing right now aren't 4 months old and the soles are already split. And of course the manufacturer will not do anything for me.
Yeah. Well,
back to Danner boots.
Yeah, there you go. What brand are you wearing right now?
They're Chinooks.
Oh, yeah. No, Danner. Yeah, you can't go wrong with Danner if you want the warranty.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, so it's one of those things that you do budget when you're a parent because you don't want to buy, you know, I'm not even against name brands or anything like that. I don't give a shit about, you know, if the kid wants Adidas, fine. If he wants something else like that. I don't like paying for the name, and especially in certain instances. I mean, if you buy a pair of certain types of Nikes, I mean, there's certain types of Nikes you can get that are good, but there's other ones, like if you buy the Jordans, you're strictly paying for that name, and they don't last nearly long enough for what you're paying for. I mean, when you're paying $120 a pair of shoes.
$120? What are you talking about?
That's if you buy, like, a cheap pair of Jordans. I mean,
yeah, that's the cheap pair of Jordans. Look, Michael Jordan was absolutely phenomenal basketball player, and he still makes a phenomenal amount of money because he was a phenomenal basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And Nike is still charging a phenomenal amount of money for his shoes.
Well, how do you expect a guy to live once he retires? I mean, there's a
he's
reason
got
why.
Fruit of the Loom. What does he need?
That fucking Nike money.
Apparently,
Fruit of the Loom gets you the free under, you know, the free underwear and the free T-shirts. You know, but that
right.
That helps. You know, it keeps you your drawers good and clean and new for a while. But you actually need to have, you know, you got to have that Nike money in order to actually survive. So. But yeah, so in case anybody's wondering or in case anybody's curious about, you know, having a kid, it's not fucking cheap. It just the birth alone, you know, starts off at about $35K if you're lucky.
That's a normal birth.
Yeah, nothing goes wrong. There's nothing spectacular about it. No extra drugs. No nothing like that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's not a cheap thing. And then of course you have the heartache and the headache and everything else down the road there, but it's all gravy. So if we seem a little discombobulated tonight, it's just simply because I was out of town for a good portion of the week while Jody was in her surgery, and then come back to helping her recover. I always tend to put my foot in my mouth the way I phrase things on the show sometimes, but that's all right.
That's okay. We're guys.
Yeah, it's kind of what we do. But then the kid Tempe's seems to have come down with a little something today. She's not feeling herself, so she was a little off all day. So I've been playing Mr. Mom to, you know, four kids instead of three because it's, you know, with Jody being the way she is, understandably so, it's been a little rough. So we didn't quite start what we wanted to tonight, and things have just kind of been a little disjointed. So just bear with us. We'll make it way through here. But
please do, because Justin prepped for this show, and I didn't, because I'm pretty sure it's just going to degenerate into some, you know.
Oh, it always does. I mean, I the notes, like I said before we actually even started recording, the notes are a loose interpretation of what I'd like to see happen on the show, or where I'd like to see things go. But as we flow and things start happening, it goes.
Let me tell you a little Justin.
As far as I understand,
ladies and gentlemen, he likes that word loose.
Anyways, thanks a lot there, jackass. But as I understand it, you are a listener of the podcast, correct?
I do. I think I've missed a couple episodes.
No.
But I haven't missed more than, you know, 10 of them.
Oh, you fuckhead.
No, I'm kidding. I think I've missed two.
Thanks a lot, asshat. No, but as that, you know, you know that while we do have kind of a generalized topic or where we want the show to go, it can go in any manner of directions, especially if we're imbibing as we are tonight.
Yeah. So, I get here and I work today and which is, you know, well, that's an excuse, right? And Justin shoves a drink in my hand. Dude.
I fed you first, you fuck.
Well, see, that's a problem.
I gave you some bomb-ass homemade vegetable beef soup.
You know, the vegetable beef soup was bomb-ass at 9 o'clock at night. And I've been working all day. So that started to put me down. And then he shoves a freaking 150 proof alcohol drink in my hand, and I'm almost done with it, by the way. I'll be asleep here in 20 minutes, folks.
Yes.
No, well, so the snoring should add ambience.
Nah, I'll keep you awake. All right. So as a construction worker, I know one thing that's very specialized about that industry. Bathroom breaks. You don't always get the most luxurious of accommodations when you need to go.
You wouldn't be referring to the outhouse, would you?
It doesn't matter whether it's the outhouse, the tree, the hole you dug.
Well, see, trees are, you know, get in touch with nature and you know, trees are fine, grass is fine, you know, unless you have to do that other business.
Yeah.
What's really fun is in the middle of the summer when it's, you know, 100 degrees outside and you need to go take care of an Al Bundy, as it were, in a 130-degree fiberglass plastic
stanky-ass outhouse.
Yeah.
Something that's been marinating in everybody else's funk there for a while.
Yeah.
Very similar to the bucket of shame we had on that camping trip where there were no restrooms.
Yeah.
And I had that little mini, like, 4x4 tent.
I don't know why everybody was so worried about that.
It worked out. I mean,
you know, I mean, bucket of shame. You got to go to the bathroom. It was a fairly clean place to go.
Yeah, and
it was semi-private.
Yeah, and we had the bio bags that we just sealed up and threw away.
And nobody really laughed much at anybody else who went in there. I mean,
depends how long I stayed in there. But no, I mean, so obviously there are those who, this actually comes from another podcast I listen to, but they call it the home court or the home poop advantage. There are those people that prefer that they would rather just not crap anywhere else but their house.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
What are you?
I'm actually kind of a mix. I prefer the home poop advantage as well, too. I've got a nice, comfortable bath in there. Temperatures just set so-so. Everything's good there. But I spend a lot of time at work at my office. A lot. I mean, I tend to spend almost more time there than I do at home some weeks. So I kind of consider that the home away from home when it comes to that. I mean,
understood.
It's got nice facilities there, and I'm not, if I didn't go when I needed to go and nature called at work, I would literally, you know, blow up or gain a few pounds, and neither of which would sound fun to me. But have you ever just dropped trow in the middle of a restaurant? I mean, literally like the middle of a restaurant and like just duked one out?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
I mean, like, go into the back. You know, you're talking middle of the restaurant.
I'm like straight up the fucking dining room. Just dropping, no, you know, like going straight on 2-year-olds, stripping down to your all-togethers and dropping a duke right there on the...
I think I know where you're going with this, and I caught a glimpse of it. Hell no. First of all, it's unsanitary. Second of all, I have a little bit more self-respect than that. Before we get going with that, though, I'm going to tell Justin, you know, what... where I'm at is, you know, I was going to say, I don't give a shit where I shit. But no, I'd rather give it to somebody else. As a matter of fact, I'm not a homebody. I don't care where I take a dump. As a matter of fact, I go out of my way not to take a dump at home.
You don't want to blow up your own spot and have to sit there and deal with it, huh?
Why waste the water? I have to pay for the water.
I'm thinking more.
And, you know, it takes 30 gallons to flush one of my toilets.
Well, so. Not to mention, speaking of that camping trip, I had to go into the bucket of shame after you went in there because I couldn't wait. And Jesus, yeah, there's not enough air freshener in the fucking world for that.
In the middle of the Mount Hood National Forest, and there ain't enough air freshener.
No, it didn't matter. But no, there was this lady who was teaching her kids to potty train or trying to continue the potty training while they're out at a restaurant. Somebody caught them on the picture and posted this to Facebook. And here her kids are on potty chairs that she brought into the restaurant, saddled up on the chairs in the dining room itself, dropped her kids down to their literally nothing on. And they got their pants around their ankles, no shirts, no nothing.
Zero on.
And
except around their ankles.
They're duking it out right there on the as other people are trying to have their dinner or the lunch or whatever time of the day this is. They never did catch the mom. I guess people were too appalled to actually say anything or get anything, you know, taken care of on it.
Pussies.
Yeah, no shit. But once again, I mean, that's the passive aggressive nature of, you know, this area, and also this actually came from Utah, and so that they're just too nice over there. They don't want to say bad things because, you know, Joseph Smith might come down and smite them. But that's another story. So
screw Joseph Smith. Dude was a prophet, but. What if Jesus comes down and smotes you?
Well, somebody's about ready. We'll smoke them if they speak ill of somebody else, so they don't. But, I mean, this is gross. I mean, for example, do you ever watch the Mythbusters?
I've seen that show, I believe.
Okay, so they actually did it. Somebody sent it in, and forgive my memory on this. I'm pretty sure this is how it happened. But basically, they have this segment where people or viewers of the show can give them ideas or ask them questions. I heard this. Can you prove it, disprove it, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
So they're talking about when you flush a toilet, does it... This is another reason to not... You know, this actually would be another reason for you to not poop at home. But when you flush the toilet, it creates a spray of fecal particulate that goes into the air. And they did test it and it got on the tooth... It got on the vicinity of the toilet if you didn't have the lid down. So at the very least, make sure your kid's putting the lid down before he's, you know, dropping that thing down the hole.
Ladies and gentlemen, your toilet's still cleaner than most of the surfaces in your house, so.
Yeah, that's true, but it was still gross to see that there was that, you know, that fecal spray going on there.
It builds resistance.
It does, but, so I mean.
Stop sanitizing everything, people. Yeah. Stop it. Stop it now.
That's another thing about parenting. Those people that antibacterialize everything, and then you wonder why your kid's always fucking sick. You know,
I saw this lady the other day. She was driving around in a freaking 18-wheeler with a Johnson & Johnson down the side of it. I'm like, what's in that? Oh, sanitizer. Yeah, I made that up, but please don't pack the freaking 55-gallon drum of sanitizer around and sanitize everything. Come on.
Well, then, not to mention the fact they've actually had studies now that show that the sanitizer, there's I believe if it's not already happened, it's happening. There's a class action lawsuit against some of the big players that their sanitizer isn't doing what they claim it does, it can do, because they stopped using alcohol, which is really one of the few true, outside of like bleach, it's one of the few things that can actually kill microorganisms, and they weren't using it. And so they did tests on it, and it was shown to prove that antibacterial shit wasn't doing anything. If it didn't have alcohol in it, it wasn't doing anything it claimed to do. And then the alcohol, it's full on nuclear winter. What it does is it kills the bad germs as well as the good germs. So anything that you have on your body that actually helps you and is, you know, an assistant to you, it gets obliterated as well too. So it really doesn't, there's nothing wrong with washing your hands. There's nothing wrong with anything like that, but there's a certain point where you take it up to a level that's too far.
Everything in moderation, people. I mean, come on. I grew up on a farm. I would go and have cow pie fights with my friends, and then we'd go in and have a snack.
Yeah.
Or we wouldn't even go in. We'd just go down to the apple orchard,
yeah,
pull an apple off the tree.
And just straight up
wipe the caterpillars off of it.
Mm-hmm. And then just chop down on it.
Hopefully it was the wrong time of the year for the worms to be in it. And if there was any bees around, we just left them alone. And then we'd start eating our apple. You know, I'm not sick.
Well, you're sick in the head, but that's something else.
That's something different.
But no, I mean,
by the way, if there's any therapists out there that are willing to trade, you know, services for services, I need some therapy.
And I'll be one to vouch for him. He does good fucking carpentry and good work. This guy is, you know, he considers himself a jack of all trades and a master of none. But when it comes to construction, if he puts his mind to it and does it, plumbing, electrical, whatever, it comes out gold. So there's only one person I really truly trust to actually give me honest input on a project like that, and he's one of them. So yeah, if you're a good head, you know, somebody who's good at working in the head, he's good at working on, you know, your house projects. So, but yeah, I mean, it's true that my kids, I have them wash their hands, you know, stuff like that. But I've never been one to not let them get dirty. I've never been one to not let them go out and have fun. Growing up, my grandparents lived on a farm, and we went out there and we played out in the dirt and the muck all the time. One of our favorite things to do was there was a stack of pallets my grandpa had out there. There was like four or five stacks around each other. And there was this
pallets.
And then we got up on top, and we actually positioned the ones on the top to fill up all the cracks, so it kind of made like a makeshift roof. And we turned it into our own little fort. Granted, you could only squeeze about three kids in there, and at the time, it was like standing room only. You couldn't even spin around. So whoever went in first, if somebody in front of you wanted to be an ass and not let you out, and you were claustrophobic, i.e. me, and you kind of had a little mini panic attack, and they thought it was funny, oh, you were fucked. You couldn't do anything. Because it was a stack of pallets high enough that you couldn't move them. But inside those pallets were all sorts of spiders and nasty little creepy crawlies and dirt and gunk, and they sat out there for many, many years, and we never died off of them. I scraped myself on many a nail. I never came down with anything, you know, horrible. So it is what it is. It's not necessary to sit there and napalm your fucking house just because somebody had like a booger they wiped in the wall or something like that.
Yes.
That's all you're going to say is yes?
Yes.
All right, buddy. Well, if we're going to ever start that other podcast we've been talking about, you're going to have to start, you know, adding a little more commentary than just yes. That's not good radio.
That's not good radio. I you know, we've been fighting with little Chris this last week. Actually, not this last week, but it kind of came to a head this last week about, you know, bedtime routine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole, you do this every night, you know, it's the same thing every day. Why do you have issues with it, you know? Brush your teeth, use toothpaste. Wash your face, use soap. You do that before bedtime, and then you might get the option of doing something in that gray area after official bedtime, whether it be watch TV or watch dad, you know, pop holes in people's heads playing Crisis, or read your book.
Yeah.
And then you come in
the whole at time management
20 minutes to 10, 40 minutes after you're supposed to have brushed your teeth and washed your face, and your mom's yelling at you from the bedroom going, Chris, what are you doing? Have you brushed your teeth yet? No.
No.
You're grounded, dude.
Did you get the whole, why?
No.
Oh,
no,
God.
No, no.
No, Ezra has been having similar problems. Not necessarily. He's got the bedtime routine down pretty packed, but he's. It's because we kind of pulled something similar. The way our bedtime works is we have shower. We get showers done a little earlier than everything else. That way they're just out of the way. And then after everybody's had their shower, we sit down. We have a little bit of family time. If we're going to do dessert that night, we'll do dessert. If not, we're gonna, you know, we'll just kind of hang out, watch TV or something like that. Well, one night he kind of diddled around and fucked off and didn't really, you know, typical kid stuff. But his normally, you know, 5-10 minute shower took 55 minutes, and there was all this other stuff going on. And so by the time he finally got done with everything and came out, we all sat down. We had been sitting down. We were having, you know, and I mean, we weren't gonna have dessert that night, but because he was fucking off and it had been a problem, I upped my dad game a little bit, and I went. And I don't remember if I made cinnamon rolls or what happened. But anyways, it was like a really nice dessert. I mean, I went all out.
It was the shizit of desserts for that night.
Yeah, exactly. And mainly I went way above and beyond anything I would do outside of like a birthday party. And made this just really, it was ice cream and all the extras, you know. And all the kids were out there happily eating it. And, of course, I made it. It was just like minute portions for the little ones because I didn't want them to be pinging off the walls. But he comes out. We're you know, eating all this stuff. He's like, where's mine? I'm like, you don't get none tonight. Why not? I'm like, because it's a, you know, it's bedtime basically. All you gotta do now is brush their teeth and they're good to go. They had everything else done. You screwed off in the shower and everything for too long, and I'm sorry, but you snooze, you lose kind of a thing. And that devastated that kid. I mean, he was the snot bubbles and the freaking out and the you know, crying. And then
you've been warned.
Yeah, he had repeatedly been warned quite a bit. And so ultimately, I'm just like, dude, you can sit here, bitch at me all you want. You can cry, whine, piss, moan, whatever, all you want. It's not going to change the goddamn thing. You're not getting dessert tonight. You need to figure it out and just move the fuck on, because you should have, you know better by now. So at this point in time, he no longer fucks around when it comes to that. I mean, if I say get a shower, he's boom. I mean, there's times where I actually have to go, did you wash your hair? Did you scrub your nuts? I mean, did you like do, you know, get, because that was an awfully quick, you know,
right.
And I'll have him come over. I'll do a pit check and make sure that, you know, he actually smells of soap and not of BO.
Right. Yes.
Just to make sure he's actually done it.
Funny. I have to do that occasionally myself.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, did you use, shampoo?
Oh, I thought you were talking about after you got out of the shower. Nope. Got to go back in for another round.
No, I scrubbed the shit out of my shit.
Hey, what you do in your personal time is your business, buddy.
Right. Hey, Chris, did you wash your hair? Yeah. Did you use soap? Yeah. Really? How come your hair feels like it's greasy and smells dirty?
Yeah.
Like a wet dog.
Yeah.
Get back in the shower.
And try it again there, mister. There was one time Ezra, he was trying to perfect his timing. And he comes out and he's drying off. And I look at his hair. And I can still see the shampoo bubbles. I'm like, you missed a step. He's like, what? I'm like, you missed. Yeah. And actually, I felt like a critical step. And then at that point, it had run down into his eyes and started to burn. I'm like, he's like,
yeah.
Ow! Ah! He's freaking out. I'm like, yeah, you forgot to take the shampoo. It's still in your head, dude. You get back in there and rinse it out. And so he was running back in there half blind, hit the wall. It was pretty hysterical.
But nice.
But yeah, no, I mean, seriously, Ezra's the same way. It doesn't matter. What you, if it's, even if it's something that's routine that he's done time and time again, you can actually take it, like, you know, and draw a map and draw it out for him in crayon, and he still fucks it up. And then when you sit there and you go, okay, look, I gave you the 15 steps of this process on a sheet of paper to read from, and you still skip steps 3, 4, and 5. Why? What the hell? And he's just like, I forgot. I'm like, how do you forget when you've got a user's manual in front of you that helps you with this shit, you know? And I know part of that's just, kids being kids, but I've also done a little research, and I make sure, because I want to be very aware of making sure that what I ask them to do is very age appropriate, and that holds true for all three of my kids.
Right.
I want to make sure that if I'm asking him to do something, that it's not something that is out of the realm of ordinary to ask a kid of that age to do. And granted, there are some things that I'll ask him that are usually above and beyond what most kids his age can do, but that's because he is above and beyond most kids his age.
Right.
And his understanding and his concepts and what he can do. Now, physically, I have to keep that in check, but mentally is more what I'm thinking of. Yes. He's mentally capable, which is, makes it even more infuriating when he gets all retarded on me and pulls, you know.
I don't like the whole retarded routine.
Well, the problem I have with it is it's so reminiscent of my ex some of the crap that he pulls, where it's just a complete and total lack of common sense.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to get into any diatribe about, you know, bashing on her as far as like details or anything, but just something that if you just seriously stopped for a moment and took a few seconds out of your day and thought about what was going on,
right,
you'd be able to go, that's not going to be a good idea to take this course of action. I'm going to go down this path instead.
Yeah,
and because his mom is very capable of that. If you can get her to stop and you talk to her about it and she can actually, and she'll focus and think, 99.9% of the time, she'll take the common sense answer and run with it. But if you can't get her to slow down, it's that brick wall, and she's heading for it at 70 miles an hour on a skateboard with no helmet, and the same thing he does, and then wonders why they splatted at the bottom.
Right. Like, and not only is it a skateboard with, you know, no pads or helmet on, that skateboard's on rails.
Yes.
It's going straight for the wall.
Yeah, there's no way to get it to go any other way direction. It's where it's going.
Yeah, and so. I try much the same. You know, I try to get Chris, you know, he doesn't like my long-winded diatribes sometimes.
Oh, yes, the lectures?
Yeah.
I learned from the best.
You know, I didn't get the lectures. I just got told to do it. Shut up and don't think.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. So, you know, I try not to, but it leads into some interesting conversations. He learns stuff from it. But I try to explain to him, you know, if you go that way, you know, what are you going to do? Stop. What happens? Stop. What are you going to do? What happens if you go that way?
Yeah.
And think about what happens if you go that way.
And just take a second and marinate in that and figure out what's going to happen. Yeah.
Just think about two, three, if you go that way. And think about two or three things if you go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's even a third way, you know, it doesn't matter.
Believe it or not, something that's working with Ezra right now. And actually, we'll let's hold that thought for a second. I want to get back to that whole common sense thing.
Yeah.
Ezra locked himself out of the house. All right. I'll give you a little bit of background on this. He had his keys on him to the house. He knows the code to the garage for the house. So he can type the code in, the garage door opens. The door between the house and the garage is never locked, i.e. I'll never give my address out in the podcast. But I purposely leave that as a failsafe for him, because when we first moved in here, and this was in the dead of winter, he actually legitimately got locked out because he forgot his keys, and the battery had gone dead on the garage
door.
And so he couldn't get it open, and he was out here in like 30-degree temperatures, freezing his ass off. And both these times lead to the lack of common sense thing. We have a neighbor across the street who's home all day long. She's a little old lady, and her husband goes to work and all that, but she's always home. And we have a couple other neighbors just up the street that are always home all day long.
And it's not like he didn't march himself around the neighborhood and introduce himself to everybody.
Oh, he did that. Yeah, we've talked about that before, you know. So, but he never went over there and called anybody. The second time it happened, when he couldn't, in his words, get the key, when I came home, couldn't get the keys to work, he tried calling me. I was in a meeting at work. My phone goes off. I picked up the phone. It was not a number I recognized. Therefore, I didn't take it because I was in a business meeting and I didn't have a reason to leave. He didn't leave a voicemail. He tried calling Jody's phone. Also didn't leave a voicemail. Neither did he try calling back either one of us a second time to see if maybe we had just missed the call or anything like that. Nothing that would have clued me in that it wasn't anything more than just, you know, somebody either had the wrong number or it was a customer that was just going to call me back later and didn't want to leave a voicemail. Then I roll home, and here he is sitting in up at the top of the hill, the driveway, on a rock, reading a book. That time it was a warm day, so it wasn't a big deal. I'm like, why didn't you call me? He's like, I did. I tried calling you from the neighbor's house. I'm like, that would be the number I didn't recognize. Where's my voicemail? Well, I didn't leave you one. Oh, no shit, Sherlock. I got that, because I don't have one. Why? Well, I just didn't think to do it. I'm like, well, how am I supposed to know that you're locked out of the house if you don't call me back a second time and or you don't leave me a voicemail saying, hey, look, Dad, I can't get in the house. So there's common sense failure number one. Then the reason he couldn't get the front door to work was because when he shut the door in the morning and locked in the morning, that door down there has a really tight weather seal. And if you don't get the main doorknob latch to latch, it puts too much pressure on the deadbolt and it makes it impossible to open with a key. And I've shown him this, but if you pull on the door,
it'll loosen up the deadbolt
and it pops right open. I've shown him that multiple times.
And he's capable of doing it.
And he's capable of doing it. He didn't do it. I've also, we have the similar situation on the garage door because the management company for this place is, you know, they have to call code and CO2 emissions. Yeah, yeah, they put an extra thick weather seal there too. So it's also a nice tight door there. And if you don't pull on it a little bit, if you're on the outside or push on it, if you're on the inside and then turn it, it won't pop.
Yeah, your garage door to your man it's, door to your garage sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. Which is why I changed doorknobs on it, and it's got a nice swing handle, so you can really get some leverage on it.
You put a lever on it now.
I did. Nice. I'm going to swap it back once, you know, because technically I'm not supposed to do that as a tenant, but there's no way I'm going to call, you know, the landlord's not going to come out and give me a swinging door on it because my kid's too stupid to figure out how to pull on the door.
Well, first of all, code is switching over to lever sets anyway.
Yeah.
Because of fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know... All you have to do is push it down and pull.
Yeah.
You don't have to try to grab it.
That's a perfect situation. That you know, yeah. Exactly. You don't have to try to grab onto it or whatever. You can kick it with your foot. It'll pop open.
Right.
But, so I put a lever one on there so you can actually get it to pop. But still, once again, if he had left me a voicemail or done what I had shown him to do previously and just pulled on it when he was unlocking the deadbolt, would have been just fine. So that whole lack of common sense thing sometimes just like, you know, it makes you want to just take him to the kid and choke him out.
Choke him out. I do have a...
What was it I said I was going to come back to? Do you remember? Because I sure as hell don't know.
What?
The exact... Fuck, okay. Well, oops.
So, maybe it'll come back to you in a second.
I hope so, because I knew I was supposed to swing back to something about Ezra, and I totally forgot, so...
Sometimes, you know, you wonder how you're doing.
As a parent.
Okay. And again, without diving into the, you know, black hole that was the past, I've made some considerably large mistakes and I've seen the transition from before through that mistake into now. And I got one of the biggest...
Affirmations.
Yes, thank you. Affirmation. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful word. Last night, I went to bed before little Chris did. Tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to go to bed. I had to get up early.
Normally what dads do because they get up ass fucking early. I mean,
right.
At least historically of my experience between myself and my old man. So
little Chris gets ready for bed. By the way, we've cleared up the whole, you know, he's now... After being grounded a couple of times in a row for not doing his evening routine, he's doing that. He gets ready for bed, and I'm still awake. You know, I'm laying in bed and winding down, reading a book, and lights are off because my book is on my Kindle. Hey, you're reading a book with your lights off. He comes in.
Like a man.
climbs on the bed and lays down next to me and throws his arm over me and puts his head on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
What's up, dude? Nothing, Dad. Just cuddling.
Nice. Talk about melt your heart fucking moment, right?
I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
You know that? I know you do that with mom, and that's a mom mm-hmm. kid thing.
Mm-hmm.
For you to come in here and ask. You know, I didn't say, I don't demand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love you, Dad. I'm just cuddling. Aww.
Yeah.
It was very, very cool. I know that I don't have much time for that left, but that regardless of the mistakes that I've made, I must be doing something okay.
Yeah. Because he's willing to come in there and show you.
Yeah.
He doesn't hate your guts, basically.
Well, right. Especially after I grounded him two nights in a freaking row.
Yeah, no.
I think part of that is they want us to beat them routinely. Well, and I use it as a figure of speech.
Yeah, but
they want to know what their limit is.
Yes. And basically, it's that whole... They need to know their boundaries. They need to know that it's if you solidify those things and you show it to them... They will normally, they won't, you know, if they, any kid will still act out from time to time, but they won't act out, you know, all the time because they're not, if you're showing them attention elsewhere, they won't go for any kind of attention, you know, they don't just go for broke and do whatever they can to get attention. So, and actually I remember when I wanted to swing back down to, you were talking about the whole lecture or not lecture thing, but the whole long talks with your kid.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, your dad was more of a just do as I say, not as I do kind of guy. And, my dad was similar in some ways, but not in others. He's a military man. I grew up as a military brat. I've mentioned this before in the podcast.
Same.
And my dad, he did a fairly good job of balancing it. There were certain times where you knew it was simply going to be if dad barked or if he had a certain tone to his voice, whether mm-hmm. it be a pissed off tone or an alarmed tone or something like that.
Tone.
You could just the tone to his voice, or you could read his body language if you were paying attention.
Tone and reinforced by the look on his face.
Or just the way he was reacting to something. You knew whether it was one of those times where you could ask him what's going on, is everything okay, or if it was time to move your fucking ass, do what he said.
Right, or just time to shut up.
And you could come back later and figure out what happened after the fact. And I try to be very much about that myself as well, too. But if there's one thing my old man was pro at, he knew that the last thing a kid ever wants to do, and I think he got this from his old man, they don't like to sit there and listen to somebody drone on.
Especially fidget.
Especially when that person calls you out in the fidget, and for every fidget, they make the lecture go X amount of time longer. So if you kept moving, it just never seemed to end. And he was in drama in high school. He's very, you've met my old man. He's boisterous. Yeah. He's very outgoing. In some ways, kind of opposite of me on certain things, but he can make shit up just out of the thin air, pulled out of there, and just spurt shit out.
He's not making it up. He's just pulling some random thing out of the freaking blue.
It's funny as I'm growing up, things that when I was younger, because when you're a little tyke and you've got your dad's like Superman in your eyes and infallible, yada yada. So you think he came up with everything he says. Right? Your dad's this masterful, he's just fucking a genius. And my dad, not saying my dad's not a genius, but I mean, he is a very smart man.
Yeah, he's smart.
But as I got older, I started realizing I'd hear certain things from different movies or different whatever. And that's where he pulled that from. It was right. he went back into that god awfully large memory of his and picked out this little sound bite and used it in that thing. And so it's shit like that he could do, and it would just mind fuck you, because he'd be sitting there and talking about one thing, and then all of a sudden he'd like bust out a Full Metal Jacket line. You're like, hey, where'd that come from? It was just because it seemed like he got a left field when he had no point of reference, and so he was awesome about, if he needed to, he could talk you into literally into a zombie state, but so you didn't want to get caught there. So one of the many things I tried to do as a child was not piss the old man off, because if you got put in that particular spot, you knew that you were going to get that lecture, as well as the punishment that followed the lecture.
Right, and you're going to have to stand there and take it the whole time.
Exactly, and there's one or two ways he'd swing it, depending on how badly you fucked up. If it was a simple enough punishment, he would give you the punishment up front and give you the lecture. On the flip side of it, if he had to think about it a little bit and figure out just how badly he needed to beat on you, once again, figuratively speaking, I can count on my hands how many times I actually had a physical altercation with him, and all like six times I deserved it. He would come up and he would figure the punishment out as things were progressing based on my reactions and how I was reacting to the conversation. Those were the worst, because you'd be sitting there, shit, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Is he going to, I fucked up pretty bad. How hard is it? And he'd just be droning on. So you're trying to pay attention, but you're also in the back of your mind actively thinking about how badly am I going to get fucked for this.
Right.
And just so
exactly. Yeah. How long do I lose the car for?
Exactly. Or, how long am I grounded and can only see the one person that really annoys the hell out of me? He pulled that one when I was like 8 or 9. But right about Ezra's age, I did some. I went to the commissary, which was on military base. It's the one of the main, it's a grocery store. Commissary is about 5 miles down the road from our house, and it wasn't like I had to go across a couple busy streets and a highway to get there, and it wasn't necessarily that I wasn't allowed to go there, but to be that far away from home and be gone for as long as I did, I needed to at least let them know where I was, and I didn't. So I finally get back home after Dad's like freaking the hell out, and not so much freaking out that anything was really wrong or had happened to me, because he knew we were on a secured base, everything was kosher as far as that went, but just freaking out because he didn't know where I was. So I get back from that and figures out what I did. And then it was this one kid that he didn't really like me hanging out with, because the kid was kind of the kid was a punk. Didn't really respect authority, that kind of thing. So my dad's like, but one of my other friends who I still have, communicate with nowadays, but we were really close friends when we were little, but we also drove each other nuts. We were so close. We were like brothers. So there were times where we just couldn't stand each other. So he we were in one of those times where I could not stand the sight of this kid. He was driving me up the fucking wall. He's like, you're grounded for a month. And this was the middle of summer, too. You can't go anywhere. You can't. You so much as step off the grass onto the sidewalk. And we had one of those. We were in base housing. We
one
had
of our those yard. Little postage stamps.
Yeah. And if so much as even touched the sidewalk outside of our house, he was going to extend the grounding even longer. So I could, as long as I stayed in my grass, I could watch the other kids play. But if they talked to me, I was not allowed to respond to them. I wasn't allowed to do shit. And he had my mom watching out for me, unless it was that one kid. Then he calls up that kid's parents. I want so-and-so over here as much as you can feasibly get him over here. He's like, they've been driving each other nuts right now. They both need to remove their heads from their asses. Oh, and by the way, Justin's grounded, and the only person he's allowed to hang out with is him. So you, whatever you want. I've already talked to my mom, Ellen about it. She's kosher. You just send him on over. He can be here all fucking day for all I care. And they did. So like a month straight, like 8, 9, 10 hours a day, I was with this kid. Oh, it just drove me I mean, finally we got past our bullshit and started getting along because it was all we could do. Because he, coincidentally, he had fucked up pretty bad too. So his parents were trying to come up with a punishment for him. And this was the perfect one because we were both not able to, we were not doing so well with each other at that point in time. So it just worked out perfectly.
So, that's awesome.
Like the first week and a half, we were just sitting there, just fumed at each other. Like we were pissed off at each other, like the other person had caused our individual problems, which they hadn't.
Right.
And finally we figured out that we could either spend the next month being really shitty and feeling really shitty and just having a horrible time, or we'd figure out how to get the fuck along and make the best of it because it's all we had. But it's just shit like that. My old man is like just king of those kinds of punishments. And I've used some of that on Ezra, and it's finally starting to pay off. And he's getting to the point now where he realizes that if he does certain things, it's going to end up down this road. And he really doesn't like that road, so he tries to avoid it. So, but then there are times where I've let him actually fly off the handle, too, and get the attitude, get the temper, and just let him make a complete and total ass of himself, and then prove it to him afterwards that he was an ass, and then bring it up.
That's a good time.
And then just watch that sheepish look pour over his face.
Yeah.
And I've seen you do that with little Chris, too. I mean, there's been times.
He goes, really, good? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here you go.
Well, the biggest thing Ezra has done lately has been something happens, he views it as stupid.
Chris has that problem.
Now, granted, if you take it from a certain perspective, it is dumb. If you factor in other external influences, sometimes what is actually happening is what makes the most sense. But you're not always shown those other circumstances.
Yes, you don't see all of it. But there's two sides to every story.
But because that visually hasn't happened,
right?
It's automatically a stupid thing. And so he calls on it, and I've been stomping on him on that. Like, dude, seriously, no.
Shut your pie hole.
First off, you're sounding like a dick right now. You're just being a complete ass. Secondly, if you don't actually know what's causing this to happen, it's cause and effect. And he wasn't really grasping cause and effect. Something I have found that has got him to grasp cause and effect. And people are going to try to hate on me when I say this. So I'm going to preface this with, I watch the episodes first before I allow him to see them so that I know what's coming in the episode so that if it's not an appropriate one, I just won't let him watch it. But there's a show on MTV called Ridiculousness, hosted by that skater, Rob Dyrdek. You were over for an episode of that.
Oh, right, yeah.
When the boys were watching it. And I watched that.
That was wrong, dude. Because there's only one part of that freaking show that was on that day that I can see in my head right now. And once you see that crap, you can't unsee it.
I don't even remember. I've watched so many episodes. I don't even remember what happened. What was it? Go ahead. People can't see your body movements in the podcast. Buddy.
Oh, well, so. No, I was trying to get you to remember it.
No, I didn't
pull it out of your ass, dude. Miss Large Mammaries.
Oh, yes, that's right. It was Jody talked about it, where she took her massive tit and fucking flattened the beer can. But granted, it was covered. It was in a shirt, but she still
she was body dropped on the beer can. She was clothed. How did he go about that? Dyrdek go about that? He said, sometimes we do a search for a phrase.
Yeah.
And what was the phrase?
I don't remember.
Cans?
Yeah, something like that. And it ended up being this video of her just flattening beer.
And look, those things had to have been like quintuple Z's. They were massive.
I'd say probably about 15, 20 pounds a piece. I mean, they were just... Oh,
and it was wrong. Totally wrong. I mean, totally.
But more so because there's a lot of skating videos, a lot of BMXing videos, a lot of shit where people seriously fucking injure themselves.
Well, yeah, and not because they're, like, per se trying to be dumb. It's just the nature of what they're doing.
Or sometimes they, something else I'm trying to get him to realize is they've overestimated their abilities, and therefore they put themselves in a position that by overestimating their abilities, now they've done fucked up, and they got to try to come out of this the best they can, and 9 times out of 10, it doesn't end well. But I've actually seen him using better thought patterns now on certain things that he's doing, whereas instead of doing something and hurting himself and going, how'd that happen? And I have to explain it to him. He's actually actively going, no, I'm going to be a little more careful on this one because I saw some guy smash his nuts once doing this. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Or something similar.
Exactly. So, I mean, I tend to use sometimes I don't know, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Not normal, quote unquote normal.
Out of the box.
Out of the box. Outside the box. Out of the box. And I have to with my kids because they are out of the box. I mean, they're always thinking outside of the box.
Well, you know, one of the biggest challenges I have with little Chris is finding stuff for him to read that's appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Ezra's the same problem.
And Ezra's the same way.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite all-time book series is The Wheel of Time. And I started reading it because a friend introduced it to me in 1996. And I think there was 5 books out then.
And just to give everybody a reference, I read the synopsis on the back of the one book that you gave Ezra.
On the Eye of the World?
I don't know.
It was the first one.
I blacked out. So, I mean, I was reading the synopsis and I blacked out. So, these are some complicated fucking books.
Well, it's 14 books in some 400,000 pages, so... Or 400,000, or four.
Yeah, I blacked out.
It's huge.
I blacked out.
So anyway, you know, I read the first 5 books, I think, in late 95, 96, early 96. No, it had to have been 95. And then I had to wait for book 6 to come out. And so I've been reading them, you know, since then. The 14th book, the last book, came out January of 2013. And little Chris finished the series a few months ago. When I gave him the 14th book in hardcover to read.
Wow.
But I've been piecemealing, you know, I'm a big Stephen King fan.
Yeah.
I gave him one Stephen King book to read. It's The Eyes of the Dragon.
Yep.
But I got to be careful what I give him. I can't give him It. I can't give him The Stand.
Oh, dude, you don't even know.
You know?
My old man, he tried to explain to me that I couldn't get It, and that I shouldn't get It, and I shouldn't read It.
Yes.
And I was Ezra's age when I wanted to read it.
Oh, boy.
And I wouldn't leave it alone. And I wouldn't leave it alone.
Wouldn't leave it alone.
Wouldn't leave it alone. So he finally made a deal with me. He's like, okay, you read chapter one. You get through chapter one, and you're not, you know, you just let me know. If you make it through chapter one and you can come back to me and look me in my eyes and say, I want to keep going, I'll let you keep going. I didn't touch it again until I was like 15.
Yeah.
I read chapter one and then I'm like, yeah, so I gave it back to him. And so then I tried sneaking in Cujo. That scared the fuck out of me because I had dogs growing up. I love dogs. Jesus Christ. So I left Stephen King alone after that. I was done.
Yeah.
And the Cujo one, he didn't know about. I snuck that one in.
Oh, yeah.
Regretted that fucking decision.
You know, I read William Peter Blatty, The Exorcist, when I was 14.
Oops.
It wasn't too bad because it really messed with my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, you know, I read one before I go to sleep. Because it helps me go to sleep.
Yeah.
I had nightmares.
Yeah.
And it took me 4 or 5 months to go through that book. And I had nightmares. Oh, it's a great book, but, you know, finding, you know, age-appropriate stuff for them to read.
Mm-hmm.
Age-appropriate stuff for, I mean, he's still on his, he wants to play Halo Kick.
Mm-hmm.
And mom's... You know, I've talked to mom about it. I said, there's nothing wrong with him playing Halo.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, there's not,
It's all alien, and it's more exactly. like, it's more cartoonish than it is anything else.
Right. It's not Crysis. It's not Call of Duty.
It's not you picking people off and thinking that it's, like, you know, that easy to just kill somebody.
Right.
And you and I think we both agree on the same thing, at least from previous conversations, that these bullshit people that say that serial killers are born from video games and that...
My ass.
Yeah, exactly. So that's all more we have to put into that. So
yeah, but, you know, Chris is like, well, why can't I play Call of Duty? Well, let me explain it to you, Chris. I'll give it to you in one quick diatribe.
Yeah, quick diatribe. There's an oxymoron.
Yes. There is a level in Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare called No Russian. Now, have you played Call of Duty 4?
I've played all of the Call of Duty games in multiplayer mode online a little bit, but not enough to get through the story at all.
Okay. So in COD 4, there's the single player level called No Russian.
Yeah.
And it's one of the operatives from the America side infiltrates into the Russian, and they go into the airport and kill everything that moves.
Yeah.
Now, you can opt out of the level.
Yeah.
It's the level that got the game banned in Russia.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, because you kill everything, civilians
including. Everything that moves.
Yes.
The first time I went through it, it floored me.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I just tried not to die.
Yeah.
I didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
At all. And then, you know, even now it bothers me to go through that level and kill anything, but even the security guards bothers me a little bit because that's not the type of person I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, so to explain that to your 12-year-old, well, there are, and this goes back to the ridiculous episode.
Mm-hmm.
There are things in your life that you can't unsee.
Yeah. Or there are things in your life that are going to have grand consequences past
the initial event.
You have to get them past the here and now.
Right.
You know, they don't see down the road.
Right. And so it's our job. That's one of the jobs that we have as a parent, is to filter that stuff and let them be children.
Mm-hmm.
So that they don't have to see that, because once they see it, they can't ever unsee it, and they're never going to unlearn it.
Yep.
And I don't want, you know, the big thing is that, you know, Chris, I don't want you to be desensitized to the arbitrary killing of anything, whether it's a game or not. Right. I mean, I know, you know, between reality and fiction, and you show promise for that, so that you know you're going to get to do things probably sooner than some people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still have to find age appropriate stuff for him to do, and it's getting harder because he's getting older.
Yeah.
And check out the big brain on Brett. The kid is, he scares me sometimes.
Ezra's the same way. But then every once in a while, though,
they go back to stupid.
They go back to stupid. Yeah. No, but I mean, that's one of the things that I try outside of, like, certain special episodes where we announce it, I try not to get too political or too religious or anything into those little black holes that can really fuck with you as far as, you know, certain things go. So I'm going to say this not to sit there and say that I support any one side of the gun control debate or anything else, but my old man, being a military man, growing up the way he did, hunting, so on and so forth, guns were something that I was around. I knew about guns. I knew we had guns in the house. I knew where the guns were. I also knew where the ammunition was. They were in separate places. My dad was very responsible. But in case I needed to protect myself, I knew where both things were. However, he needed to instill the respect. Because that's what's missing most of the time, is that you don't have the respect for the tool. Doesn't matter what that tool is. That tool could be a gun. It could be an air hammer or an air nailer for what you do with construction. It could be a hammer. If you don't respect the tool and you use it in an improper manner,
it'll bite you.
It's going to bite you, or it's going to bite somebody else. And the consequences are going to be dire. And once again, there's going to be unintended consequences of things that you may not think about or comprehend. And he had a 410 shotgun at the house. And the reason he had it was because with a shotgun, you don't have to be accurate. You don't have
point and shoot.
You
baby.
Point and shoot. At the most, you're going to, if they're close enough, you're going to obliterate your target. But if they're not, if they're further out, you're still going to get them. Just, you're going to pepper them in buckshot and make them have really regret life. I mean, they're still going to live, but they're going to fucking regret the fact they made it through. But to illustrate that point, he took me out, and there's I don't remember how he got a hold of it, but it was a solid oak door. All right, so I mean, it was literally a solid piece of oak wood. There was, I mean, it was probably in your standard
inch
door,
and three quarter.
Inch and 3/4, 2 inches thick, you know, yep. Right on there. So it was a thick piece of wood. It takes a lot to get through this. He set it up. It was an old thing that was just, it was kind of beat to shit, and it was, wasn't worth anything anymore. So he sets it up out there, and he's like, okay, I want you. He's got me behind him. He put, you know, made sure I was, you know, ear protection the whole nine. He's like, now watch this, please. Just I want you to pay attention. Boom. Pulls off one shot. That was it. Didn't go after it. He just took the one shot, unloaded the gun, made sure everything was separated, set the gun down, and said, okay, I want you to look at that. And he points at the door, and I look at it. I'm like, well, there's a hole in it. Nonchalant, you know, kind of cocky kid. There's a hole in it. He's like, okay, come here. Takes me to the door. He picks the door up. He's like, okay. And I could put my finger through the hole. I mean, it was a fairly decent-sized hole, but it wasn't anything spectacular.
Right.
Spins the door around. There's nothing fucking left of the backside of this door. It's nope. Just, I mean, literally, as he spun it, it started falling apart. It was just splintered. Just blew the shit. Because on impact, that shell just obliterated everything. He's like, now, I want you to picture if that was my body. What would happen to me? What would happen to me if you shot me in the chest with that round? What would be left of me? I'm like, nothing. Nothing. There wouldn't the you know, pieces. I mean, and I was like 6 or 7 at the time. You know, it really was an impactful thing. But it was one of those things that they. This is why I ever catch you, fucking with. And he's cussed and fucking with one of my guns. And it's not because your life is in danger or your mom's life is in danger or there's a need to protect the household. I will be your worst fucking enemy. Do you understand me? I'm like, yes, I do. And I never fucking did. Yeah. I went and looked at the gun a couple of times. I went and looked at the bolt a couple of times. But never in my life did I think to pick either of them up. And I wouldn't to this day unless there was a need to do so. But it instilled that respect of... This is a tool. It can
do it has a purpose.
It has a purpose, but at the same time, it can also be used. You know, it's that whole.
Yeah.
It can be used for bad, or it can be used for good, depending on which way you're running with it. So
my dad did a fairly similar demonstration of my stupidity. Mm-hmm. Although your dad was preemptive, my dad was reactive on it.
Yeah.
I came home from school one day and he was pissed. And usually when he's that kind of pissed, I have just gotten back from cutting my own switch or I'm going out to cut my own switch.
Yeah.
He goes, get that slab of meat out of the fridge. What? Shut up and do it. And he walks out of the house. What did I do?
That's the worst. That feeling is the worst. When you're trying to figure out what the fuck you did.
Yeah. What did I do? I did something, and he's pissed.
At that point in time, your asshole could suck buttermilk. I mean,
and I'm like, dude, hey, help me out here. I can't figure out what I did wrong. I know I did something. I had to have. Anyway, so he's outside, and he's standing over the trash can, and he has a propane torch in one hand.
Uh-oh.
And an insulated leather gauntlet on his other hand.
This is like some Dexter level shit, man.
And so I bring him the and it's a slab of deer steak.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wraps it up, sticks his finger in it, holds it in his hand, and puts the blowtorch on the end of the meat. And it takes about 35 seconds for his hand to explode. And I'm like, what the hell was that? And he goes, what the fuck were you doing in the house the other day? And I went,
That was like 3 days ago. I don't know.
But I knew. I was grinding. He goes, well, and he grabbed another shell. He goes, that's what you were grinding.
What is that?
I don't know. Then why were you grinding it?
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't know. It doesn't matter.
Don't do it again.
Don't do it again.
Yeah, because this is the result.
Because that's a powder load. Yeah. It's for driving nails.
Yeah.
And if that would have blown up in your hand, this is what would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he unwrapped the steak, and it was toast.
Yeah.
Almost all the way to the glove.
Yeah.
Because he just opened his hand and folded it out. And there was one spot I thought I could see the glove through it.
Yeah.
And I went, okay. You know, and I love playing with guns. It's like I love playing with fire.
Yeah.
You know, I love them both. But I have a healthy respect for, you know, what's a firearm going to do.
Yep.
I don't mess around pointing them at people unless I'm prepared to pull the trigger. And I've only ever done that once in my life.
Yep. I played with matches once when I was younger.
More than once.
Well, I'll get there. I meant like literally just straight being stupid about it, you know. I played with him once when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And basically, my buddy of mine, he got a hold of like an entire box full of books and matches.
Oh, boy.
And so I was taking one match, lighting it, and then lighting the entire book on fire and watching it burn. And that whole
thing. Oh, that's such a blast.
Yeah, doing the whole Beavis and Butthead thing before it was even, you know, before it was even like, you know, a thing.
Hey, Beavis.
Yeah, but talk about some real life bullshit. I did that, and not more than, I don't know, I want to say a month or two later, the kid next to us was doing the same, next door to us was doing the same thing in his house, inside his house, caught the book on fire, freaked out, dropped it in the underwear drawer of his bedroom, slammed the dresser drawer shut, burnt the fucker down. And we're talking a connected triplex, you know, it was 3 units connected. Right. Luckily, they had a firewall between each unit.
Right.
It was solid cinder block. I mean, it was stacked right. All the way from ground to, you know more about that than I do. So that was the only thing that kept it from creeping through the attic and getting, I mean, because it was all the way to the attic.
It was all the way to the bottom of the roof.
Yeah, it was up, I mean, it was up there. So, and it gave enough time for the, you know, firefighters to get there and put it out. And then I actually went in, because we were friends of the family, and I toured the damage after the fact. So as far as just playing, in a manner of having ignitable sources nearby enough that would cause a big problem, I would learn pretty quick, yeah, don't do that, because they lost everything. It was gone. Yeah. And the person that got hit the hardest was the kid, because it started in his bedroom.
Right.
That was the epicenter, and then it just kind of spread out from there. So while they're most of their common stuff in the living room and in the kitchen survived, minus some smoke damage,
right.
Anything that was, you know, necessary to actually, like, you know, go out in public, i.e. clothing, underwear,
right.
All of it was gone. Ugh. In the matter of literally, it took the firefighters like 5 minutes at most to get there, because once again, we were living on post, and you know, it was a pretty quick response time. That's another interesting story at some point, the response time and the differences between on post and, you know, civilian police.
Speaking of my pyro tendencies, you catch that? I once started a 75-acre brush fire just so I could go out on the call.
Are you sure you really want to admit that?
Because my stepdad was on the fire department.
Did he ever find out?
Nope.
Oh, that's a good thing. Is he dead?
Nope.
Oh.
Well, I could probably tell him now.
Does he listen to us?
When did that happen? When was that? That was...
I don't know. There is just certain things that, you know...
9, yeah. That was... the statute of limitations is out on it, and it was a brush fire.
Well, I don't... I'm not
really worried about it.
Well, no, see, for me...
10, 20...
I would never be concerned about the statute of limitations.
36 years ago?
Because as far as my old man is concerned, there is no statute of limitations. So there are just certain things that he'll never know about.
This was my stepdad, and, you know, I love my stepdad to death. But my stepdad and I physically got into it when I was a junior in high school.
Yeah, I remember you briefly telling me about this once before.
And up until that point, I always was not scared of him, but had a healthy respect for him.
Yeah.
And then after that night, I, you know, respected him, but there was no way in hell he was going to take me, and mm-hmm. he never could.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I mean, he was 135 pounds soaking wet, you know, and I was in the middle of my prime high school athletic days.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, a little bit more than 135 pounds soaking wet. Even then.
Yeah, that's your left testicle.
Well, no. The hair on my left testicle.
There you go. No, that actually reminds me of something my dad told me one time. I was being this smart-ass little kid. He said something to me. I don't remember the whole way it played out. The basis of my response was, you just wait until you get older.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I've heard that once or twice.
Yeah, and he grabs me by my shirt collar and pulls me in nice and close, like damn near nose to nose. And he's like, I don't care if I have to crawl out of my wheelchair and gum your ass to death because I don't have any teeth left. You will mind me. Do you understand that? And he just looks at me deadpan, not a flinch, not a quiver, nothing in his facial expression. I'm like, yes, sir. He's like, good. Shut your mouth and move along.
Yeah.
Consider this one a win.
You know, I could take my old man, my father.
Yeah.
I could take him, and I know it, and I'll never touch him.
Nope. Same here.
Ever. There's no reason to.
Yeah.
But second of all, yeah, he was a Marine.
Well, see, that's the thing with my dad is that I would be more or less saying I have a pretty good chance of being able to take my father down, but I know the collateral damage I would receive in said takedown.
Yeah, and that's a good way to think about it too. That you know, collateral damage, the devastation
that upon my body
that would be wrought.
Yeah.
By that action is not worth whatever minuscule amount of satisfaction you might get. And, you know, going back to when my stepdad and I got into it, you know, I had absolutely no satisfaction in picking him up off the floor and slamming him into a corner.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't stop. Yeah. And I wasn't trying to take swings. Yeah. I was just trying to keep him from hitting me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the funny thing was, is my mom kicked me out of the house, and my stepdad's the one said, you don't have to leave.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference between, and this is kind of stereotypical, but that's kind of the difference between usually men and women. I mean, you and I even have had, you know, even if you exclude the 5-year thing, or the Voldemort period, as we want to say it here.
Right.
There's been times where we've gotten on each other's case or on each other's nerves, and we'll get pissy with each other, and then we move the fuck on, and, well, you know.
Yeah, and that's probably just
the
because...
That's the way guys handle it. You get pissed off, you do what you gotta do. Sometimes you fight, sometimes you whatever.
Right.
And then you guys pick each other up, go have a beer, and it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, and but
we've
not...
We've always been that way, though.
But that's the way most dudes are. I mean, just in general, that's the way most dudes are, but then you get...
Unless they're metro pussies.
Oh, well, even... Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I digressed.
No, but I mean, just those. But like females, they can get really. I mean, they'll hold a grudge for like ever. First again, stereotypical, but yes. I mean, there's plenty of girls that aren't like that. I mean, there's a couple of girls that I'm really close friends with that are like most of their close friends are male because they don't have to put up with the stupid catty bullshit that comes along with being. You know, and it's part of the reason why I can be friends with them because I'm not putting up with their stupid catty bullshit. And it's also been nice because it gives me that female perspective.
Yeah.
When I have certain things going on, like if I'm, you know, if I'm having a bitch with a wife or I'm having like my daughter's done something, I'm just like, you know, and I need a third party perspective on it I can't get from somebody else, you know, it helps. So.
Or, you know, not that it happens very often, but you run into people's kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you find yourself in a situation where you do say something. And they look at you like,
you're evil. Yeah.
No, like, how the fuck did you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right, because they never get called out by their parents for shit.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll use an example, and I don't think it's ever happened to me, but you know, if little Chris was to have his friends over,
yeah,
and they were lighting matchbooks,
oh yeah,
in the house or anywhere near the house,
yeah,
per se. I would know the instant I got home what they were doing.
Yeah.
Whether they said anything or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's tells.
Yeah.
You know, to play poker? Well, yeah. I mean, every poker player has a tell. Or the you know, maybe the good ones don't. But still, the point remains that he doesn't even have to look at me.
Yeah.
I'd walk into the house, I'd be able to smell the sulfur.
Yep.
And sulfur is not something you smell in a house anymore.
No.
There's only one cause for the smell of sulfur in a house that I know of. And that happens to be a struck match.
Yep.
Hey, Chris, when'd you light a candle? I didn't. Then why were you playing with matches?
Yeah.
Right? And they have but, you know, which is the whole apparent omniscience that parents have over their children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, what do you mean you knew I did it? Because I did it and my dad did it and his dad did it?
Yeah.
Because you're a boy?
Mm-hmm.
And okay, fine, but it was dumb. Don't do it anymore?
That's been one of the funniest things, the difference between my ex and Jody. My ex only grew up with her sister. I mean, it was just her and her sister. And so there was one time I was in the living room. It was one of those things like where the boys grabbed each boy grabbed a pillow, and they ran at each other like gladiator style, and just met in this mash of just pain in the middle of the living room, and fell to the floor laughing. And she's just looking at him flabbergasted, like, "What the what?" She just didn't know what she couldn't vocalize what she had just seen or why it had happened. I'm like, "What?" I didn't even faze me. I saw it happen. I knew it was going to happen. It was
right. Almost like, see it coming.
I'm going to let the pain explain itself to them.
Right.
And then if I have to, I'll explain to them afterwards why it was a bad idea. But I knew what was going on. So I didn't even, blink an eye, nothing. And she said, "Well, why would they do that?" I'm like, "They're boys. This is kind of what boys do." I mean, it's just generalized boy bullshit. You know, it happens. And
boy.
You know, Jody's grown up with two brothers, so and plus a sister, so she's very understanding. So when like Trent and Ezra go to do something stupid, she's just kind of like with me, she'll watch it. And if it's something like, you know, deadly bad, we'll get in the middle of it. Otherwise, we're like, yeah, okay, in about 3 seconds, yep, there it is. They just whacked his head, and he's freaking out. Like, now, see, that's why you should have done that.
Significant learning opportunity commence.
Exactly. So, I mean, and especially with Trent, because he's just full on balls to the wall. That kid, he goes and goes. I mean, he's already broken his arm at the ripe old age of 2.
Yeah, I did like that cast. That cast was something special.
Yeah, that nice hot pink cast. That was awesome. He rocked it too.
He did.
It takes a real man to rock something like that.
So, what did Ezra do in school?
Oh, that was actually something I needed to delete. Same old. I got half the story, maybe a fourth of the actual entire story. And so I thought there was an issue that didn't actually exist. And so I kind of...
God, I love those.
But because it hadn't happened in so long, I rolled with it, and I kind of came down on the teacher fairly hard and was like, dude, you know, what the hell is this about? It seems kind of rough, only to find out the rest of the story. But that was actually kind of funny because I actually literally, that was the night I let him freak out on me. Yeah. I mean, I let him just. I knew he was pissed at me.
Clean himself out.
I knew he was angry about this, but I also knew it was all because he didn't fully understand, or wasn't taking the time to comprehend what he was trying to say. So I just let him. And I mean, stuff that my dad would have literally knocked me the fuck out for. Yeah. I mean, like, and normally I probably would have too, but because I knew I had an actual end goal, I let him run at me with it, and it came down to, and he was. I mean, it was basically he got kicked out of a reading group. And it was because, from his words, their reading group is kind of like Fight Club. There's just certain rules that you had to adhere to in this reading group, or you'd get, you know, kicked the fuck out. Which is fine, because it's an advanced reading group, it's a special privilege, it's not a right, and you know, so on and so forth. And one of the things you can't do is you cannot read ahead. You're assigned a certain amount of reading to do that you're going to discuss the next day in class, or the next time the group meets, whatever. You don't go past that, period. It's very clear. It's like, you know, that whole first rule of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club kind of thing.
Don't read past the assignment.
Yeah, first rule of reading group is don't read past the assignment, period, in a statement. That's an end-all, be-all, boom, done.
Right, because so they can't comprehend that the whole point of that is if you're going to read past the assignment, don't open your mouth about it.
That was the dumb thing he did, exactly, because he went and he told the teacher. Granted, it was him being honest, and we do ask him to be honest about things. And he straight up, he told the teacher and owned it, which is fine. But he wasn't happy at the fact that it bit him in the ass.
Sorry.
But he didn't lay it to me that way. He's like, you know, I told the teacher, his exact words were, I read ahead, and it was accidental. I'm like, the accidental thing, don't phrase it like that, because we'll agree to disagree on our terminology there. I'm like, but go ahead. And he's like, and I told the teacher about it, and I'm like, okay, and I, you know, and I'm like, go ahead, keep going. He's like, and she kicked me out and said I couldn't be in there anymore. And then he made it sound like she made a spectacle out of it in the middle of the class and all this other stuff. And made, right. Which that would have been above and beyond what was necessary for the punishment. So I sent a very
terse
email, because that's how this teacher prefers to communicate. No, I'm not somebody that hides behind my words or anything like that, but it's easier. And I get it, because it's easier for me to communicate via email as well, too. stating this, this, and this, and then I didn't get a response. Or actually, no, the response I got was, I had Ezra write down the reasons why he got kicked out of the group in a note to you. If you still have any questions, please let me know.
Let me see. Let me take a stab at this. That note didn't manage to get you in a timely fashion?
No, the note made it to me that night.
Oh, okay.
That was not an acceptable answer. I called her out and said, I want you to tell me why he got kicked out, because I need to know the rest of the story, knowing my son's history, and the way he tends to inflate things sometimes. I need you to tell me what exactly happened from your perspective.
Oh, okay.
And I'll grasp his perspective. I'll find the middle ground, and then I will react accordingly at home to match at school if it lines up, or I'll react accordingly to you to pull your head out of your third point of contact so we can fix this problem, whichever the case may be. And her response was, I had Ezra write down the reasons I got kicked out. He's going to give you this note. If you still have questions, you let me know. You know me as well as I do that if you ask somebody to do something for you and they skate the issue, that doesn't fly in your book.
No.
Doesn't fly in my book either.
No.
I understand you're a busy teacher. I understand school fucking sucks right now. But I am actually a parent who's trying to be actively involved in my son's education and trying to make sure.
And I ask you a question.
And I'm trying to make sure that he's not being a fuck up or anything else. And I asked you a direct question. I expect a direct answer. Now, she called me after the fact. That's what got the terse email. Because the first one was very nice, very polite. Hey, look, I heard this happen. Just let me know what your side of it was. I want to respond appropriately with Ezra. So please just give me this information. That was the response I got back from her. That's when I gave the terse email. Then I didn't get anything back. And I gave a proper amount of time for her to respond, knowing the breaks they got throughout the day. So I carbon copied a response to the principal, brought her into it. Lo and behold, I got a phone call that morning from the teacher. And we talked it out, and I got the whole story. Ezra had fucked up to an extent, and he had made a big amount out of a molehill, and we got all that worked out and all that aside. And the teacher, she's like, well, normally I just respond. You know, she's like, I respond quickly in an email, but I always want to follow up with a phone call, because sometimes you can lose things in translation in an email, which I fully understand. She's like, so I always want to respond like this. But the difference is here. First, you say you prefer email communication. Secondly, you never mentioned a follow-up phone call. Had you said, I had him do this, I'm also going to call you and explain my side of it, I would have left it alone. You didn't verbalize what you were going to do. I'm like, and the only reason I'm asking for this is not because I think that you are incapable of running your classroom. It's not because I think that you are in any of this. It's because I need to make sure, via some horrible experiences he had before with, you know, his previous teachers and whatnot, that A, he's actually being appropriate in class and doing what he's supposed to do, and B, I'm an active involved parent, therefore if he's punished at school and it's deserving, I follow up that punishment at home to make sure he knows there's a united front there and this bullshit won't fly. So, long story short, he did screw up. He made a big deal out of it. And basically what it came down to is he didn't, at some point in the transaction, he didn't realize that, you know, this one certain rule was going to get him kicked out. You know, breaking rules was going to get him arbitrarily kicked out. Because it actually ended up not being just the reading ahead. It was the reading ahead combined with some classroom behavioral issues combined. They got him kicked out. Now, in his mind, if you're in a special, and we worked this out, but in his mind originally, if you're in a special group, as long as you're following that special group's rules, there's no reason for you to get kicked out of it. So anything that happens in the regular class, exactly, should have no bearing on the special group, because they're two separate things in his mind.
Will that work with the IRS?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Would that work in a lot of situations? That would be awesome. No.
Isn't that so, somewhere around the ignorance is no excuse?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So throughout this whole thing, we're going back and forth, and I'm pissed off at him because I would ask him, did you know that breaking the rules was going to get you kicked out of reading group? Or I said, do you know this? He says, yeah. I'm like, okay. Then why is it telling me you're surprised that breaking this rule got you kicked out? He was contradicting himself. As I would ask him directly,
right.
Do you know this? Yes. Okay, well, this happened. That's why you got kicked out of the group. Well, that I shouldn't be kicked out for that. And I looked at him like, you're backpedaling here because you're saying you understand this, but then now you're telling me this. Say, no, you're not listening to me, and it's pissing me off. And he just infuriated and goes off, and I'm letting him roll with it. And he starts yelling and screaming to the point where Jody's like trying to step in. I kind of gave her the hand motion of, we're going to let this one ride. And so he's to the point where he's yelling and spit flying. I mean, I know exactly where he's at because I have the same temper he has.
Yeah.
And I've learned to control it over the years, but I know at his age exactly where he's at and what he feels, but I know it's also due to gross misunderstanding of what's going on. And he's not listening to how I'm phrasing it.
Right.
So if he would put a little more weight into how I phrased the question, he'd understand where I was coming from and understand right, that I was right. He's like, you're wrong. I'm like, no, I'm not wrong. You're wrong, Ezra, and we're going to figure this out. He's like, I'm not wrong, damn it. And he even cursed a couple times and I let it fly because he was genuinely pissed and genuinely not getting it. So I even went as far as I got the whiteboard out and I drew him a fucking diagram. At the top of the diagram was reading group. And I drew it kind of like, you know, like a video game because he likes video games. In order to get to the boss level or the end, you got to hop through these steps, right? So far, we're on the same page?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so you've got to follow the rules.
Yeah.
You got to do this.
Yeah.
You got to do that.
Yeah.
And don't do this, right?
Yeah.
And that ends up with you where?
In the reading group.
I'm like, well, you didn't follow the rules.
But I did. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm like, no, you didn't. I'm like, you're telling me. I'm like, once again, if you don't follow the rules, can you go to reading group? No. Why not? Because that's one of the steps to get there. Exactly my point, kid. I get this. So then you're telling me you did know that by doing this action in the classroom, you were going to get kicked out of reading group. No, I didn't. That's following the rule. And we went round and literally 3.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
Back and forth on this. We started before dinner. It went through dinner. Through dinner cleanup, which Jody so graciously did as I was going through this whole thing, past the younger kid's bedtime, ate into his bedtime a little bit too, but I was a pit bull. I wasn't going to let this one fucking go. And what it came down to was, is he thought that when I said, did you know this, I was referring back to like months ago. Before a certain point in the classroom had happened, did he understand that was going to be the case? And I'm like, no. I said, if you would have listened to the whole conversation, I phrased this off of the point in time when you told me this story. And at that point in time, when you told me the story of what happened in your classroom, so that would have been 2 nights ago from that point in time, did you know at that point in time when you told me that story that breaking classroom rules would affect your reading group? He goes, yes, I did. I'm like, so then you're telling me that you did know that breaking those rules is going to cause this problem. He said, no, I didn't. I'm like, okay, seriously, stop running this fucking circle with me. Which one is it, Ezra? Either you did know or you didn't know. Well, I didn't know back then, but I did know then. I'm like, when did you talk to me about it? Well, then. I'm like, so you did know about it then. So you left out part of the story. So you lied by omission. And what have I told you about that? I've told you that I will come to bat for you and I will fight for you and I will stick up for you and do whatever I can. But you have to give me all the fucking facts. And I want all of them, even if you fucked up.
Yeah, I got to have everything.
I got to have everything because I can still, even if you did fuck up, if the punishment still is more severe than what it needs to be, I can still work with you with having a meeting where we can all come to a compromise. But you have to give me all the information. He's like, well, the way you asked the question was screwing with me, and that's why I didn't get it. And it finally clicked with him. I'm like, well, no, I said you were pissed. And you weren't listening because you were pissed. And I said, I went a little overboard with it. I'm like, but that's what causes wars. That's what causes conflicts. That's what causes these things, hatred and bigotry and all these other things that happen is because you're so set in one frame, one mindset or one frame of thinking,
right,
you're not willing to see the other person's perspective, and or they might be giving you information that you're totally glossing over and throwing out simply because you want to be right, and you have to be right. You need something to write with?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm digital. I don't deal with pens and pencils and whatnot.
Right, and there's not a pen or
not a single fucking thing up here. No, there might be like a marker over there.
Oh, there they are.
Yeah. Jody is more analog in some respects than I am. So, but, and so we finally got through it, went through the whole thing, but literally 3.5 hours that one night, back and forth. And I, like I said, I drew it out in fucking crayon for him, or in this case, dry erase marker,
right,
to try to get the point across to him to show that, too much noise here. How big of a piece of paper do you need? Dude, you're asking for all the hard shit right now.
I know, right? Hold on a second, I got it covered.
Okay. But yeah, so I mean, it was one of those things that I, straight up, I drew it out for him and he still wasn't getting it, but it was that whole perspective thing. And so it was actually a really good lesson on perspective and how perspective or the difference therein can change things, especially if you're not listening to all the information you're given.
Yeah.
You know? So that's where that whole little note came from.
Pay attention.
Pay attention. And listen. And don't just listen, but process what you're listening to. So, okay. So, you could have just told me you had to take a leap, bro.
It's all right.
So, Chris wants to take
go ahead and put that shit. Go put my personal shit out on the webs like that, man.
No problem, dude. Anytime, any fucking time. So, we're gonna take a quick break here so Chris can drain his lizard, and we are going to come back at it. We won't be going for too much longer simply because we need to wrap the show up here a little bit.
It's Easter tomorrow, folks.
Yeah, that too.
We got Easter eggs to hide so, and shit.
But it might, what the hell is going on here? Let's go. Okay, so go ahead and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Stripe, yellow paint. Them niggas scared of it, but them hoes ain't. Soon as I hit the club, look at them hoes' face. Hit the pedal once, make the floor shake. Sway inside, my engine roaring. It's the big boy, you know what I paid for it. And I got the pedal to the metal. Got you niggas checking game, I'm balling out on every level. Hear them haters talk, but there's nothing you could tell them. Just made a million, got another million on my schedule. No love for them, nigga, breaking hearts. No keys, push to start. Yeah, you know what it is. Everything I do, I do it big. Yeah, screaming that's nothing. When I pulled off the lot, that's nothing. Keep repping my town, when you see me, you know everything. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. I put it down from the whip to my diamonds, I'm in. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Got a call from my jeweler, this just in. And bitches love me cause I'm fucking with their best friends. Not a lesbian, but she a freak though. This ain't for one night, I'm shining all week, ho. I'm sipping Clico and rocking yellow diamonds. So many rocks up in my watch, I can't tell what the time is. Got a pocket full of big faces. Throw it up cause every nigga that I'm with, Taylor. Yeah, you know what it is. Everything I do, I do it big. When I pulled off the lot, that's stunt. Keep repping my town, when you see me, you know everything. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. I put it down from the whip to my diamonds. I'm in black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Stay high like I'm supposed to do. That crowd underneath them clouds can't get close to you. And my car look unapproachable. Super clean, but it's super mean. She wanna fuck with them cats, smoke weed, count stacks, get fly, take trips, and that's that. Real rap, I let her get high as she want and she feel that. Convertible drop feel, 87 the top pill. Back, you know what it is. Yeah, you know what it is. if you know you should by but now. I'm gonna tell when you see me, you gon' hate me.
Black and yellow.
I'm putting down
Taylor Gang.
My diamonds, I'm in
black and yellow.
You know what it is. Everything I do, I do it big. Yeah, screaming that's nothing. When I pulled off the lot, that's done. Yeah, rep in my town. When you see me, you know everything.
Black and yellow.
I put it down from the whip to my diamonds. I'm in
black and yellow.
And we're back.
Look at that.
Yes. So you feel better now?
Your
bladder's not like wanting to explode and make him like Kill Bill style mess all over my house.
Right.
Okay, good.
I don't want to flood Jody out. She's sleeping.
Yeah. That would be bad. Okay.
Okay.
So little funny story about that song we were just listening to.
Yeah.
So I'm always up way before anybody else in the house. I was making breakfast this morning. And I had my Bluetooth speakers in the kitchen and I was kind of, you know, just jamming
getting
out,
down.
Getting down, making some breakfast, and Trent turns out he really likes to dance to music, and so
go figure, right?
He's sitting there and he is he came out of his bedroom and he was out in the living room and I was in the kitchen and also he comes in the kitchen and he starts doing this little dance thing and I didn't realize he was in the living room listening or overhearing some of the music because I wouldn't have had that kind of a song, you know, playing for him.
Right.
But he comes in and he's like, back and yell. And as he's doing like this little spinny arm motion thing and he's dancing and he's getting into it. And so then it got to the point where I ended up finding the clean version of the song and putting it on just because it was fucking hilarious to watch him. And he's doing this like little dance and he's like swinging his ass and getting into it. And it was like, wow. My 2-year-old's got some game. Okay, so
she's got more game than I do.
Exactly, more rhythm than I do too. So, all right. So let's see here. Anything else we need to go over? I'm going to save a couple of these topics for next week because they involve Jody directly. But something I'm going to talk about a little bit next week. But I want to get your take on it too. Did you know about the law in Oregon or the bill that was passed that affects how school grading is done and that it's directly tied into? Well, first off, we all know they're trying to do away with a lettered grading system, A through F. That's kind of out the door. They're doing, they started off with trying to do the SimCam mastery bullshit.
Right.
They were trying to pull that when I was in school. It didn't go so well for them. So that happened, or tried to happen and didn't. But they've got, I think it's meets expectations, exceeds expectation, or needs improvement, or like the three main flags, right?
Yes.
And then from there, they've got they've got a few other things. Well, something I found out that as far as state testing, state rankings go with everything going on as far as how projects or progress or whatnot is ranked, they don't account a few things into it anymore. They don't take into account behavioral issues and they don't take into account when the assignment is turned in. So let's say there's an assignment and just for your information, during the conversation we had a little bit ago, Terror Dog, that's Jody's brother.
Oh, okay.
So that's who you've been chatting with off and on here lately. Hi, okay. Jake.
What's up, Jake?
So now with the schooling, especially in Oregon, if you take an assignment and you actually get that assignment turned in, but it's 3 months late, but it's complete and it's one of the state required assignments that's going to help affect rankings, that's fine. You don't have to turn it in on time. And if you're also, if there's been any, and if there's any behavioral issues with the student, so on and so forth, none of that has to take into account into how their performance in school in general is graded. That last one, I have mixed feelings on it because to an extent, I mean, I kind of go both ways on that one. But the tardiness one or the one about having a certain time to actually do something kind of has to happen. Like, I don't know about you, but if you tell a client that you're going to finish the remodel in 6 months and you don't have a really fucking good reason for taking 9 to get there.
Right. They get a little perturbed.
They're going to get a little perturbed. So...
Yeah, do we really want to go here? I will say that Chris is already on that grading system.
Yeah, so is Ezra.
And, you know, up until seventh grade, that's probably a fine grading system. You know, needs improvement, meets, you know, standard or exceeds standard.
Yeah.
It's probably fine. And without stepping off the deep end, because, yeah, I got an opinion, all right.
Yeah. That's why I asked you.
Up till probably the, you know, the end of the sixth grade, if halfway through the sixth grade, you're still pulling tardies at school and you still have behavioral problems and you are turning your work in at the end of the quarter after you've had all quarter to turn it in, oh, just so your grade comes up, yeah.
Now, I want to preface this, and once again, I need to exclude genuine learning challenges from this.
Oh, most certainly.
Undiagnosed, like, dyslexia or things of
dyslexia,
that nature.
Well, even you know,
but, I mean,
ADHD, it, you know.
I think, is a little over, it's a little overprescribed.
It's probably overused, but people have it. And we're not talking, I'm not talking about kids who have challenges beyond their control. I'm talking about, in general, if your kid ain't first, he's a loser.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah, those ones.
I don't say that to be mean. You either win or you don't.
Yeah, this taking the softball team out for pizza even after they lost. To avoid hurt feelings.
Yeah, stop the hurt feeling crap.
Because,
you know, everybody in track, you know, when I was in high school, you got a participation medal. You know, that was cool, but, you know, I had a nickname in high school. They called me Colonel Clink, and that's because the left side of my letter jacket from the seam on the shoulder all the way down to the pocket was lined, and it wasn't for participations.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a good sport and lose.
Yeah.
You can be a better sport when you win.
Yeah.
But all we're teaching our children is to expect something for nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, little Chris is running into it. He's got a rude shot coming if he has any grade below a C on his report card because of that exact thing that you're talking about. They're not forcing anybody to turn their homework in.
Yeah.
And so let me just go back to my old standby. Will the IRS go for that?
Exactly. Well, that was kind of my point, is that in my job, I have certain expectations, and in your job, there's certain expectations. And while I think that there's that happy balance you have to walk, but the biggest problem I find is that we're going from one extreme to the other. Whereas at one point in time, there was a huge emphasis put strictly on this letter grade, which leaves out a lot of other valid educational needs or problems or other things that are there.
Well, yeah.
But so we're taking that, and because that was really bad, we're doing the same thing they do in politics. Now we're swinging too far the other direction, and we're going to just include everybody for everything. Participation is enough. As long as you participate, and kind of like the Office Space, the bare minimum. You know, the bare minimum around here is 13 pieces of flair. As long as you have your 13 pieces of flair, you're all good. It's okay. Now, you could go above that if you want to, but, you know, that whole thing.
Oh, I've run into that in my job. I've been on job sites. I was a contract laborer or contract carpenter for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to name the company.
Please tell me it was like BJ's.
No.
Oh, that would be funny.
Where
we really suck.
Where, you know, the on-site employee carpenter for the company gave me a list of 7 things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you want to get those 7 things done, you should have left a half an hour ago to get material.
Yeah.
He goes, what are you talking about? I said, because I'm not going to get them done until you get back.
Yeah.
With the stuff that I need.
Yep.
I said, so give me another list of things to do. And he looked at me funny.
Yep.
And you know, so this is what, you know, this is the way. So he goes and he comes back and I'm doing like the fourth thing on his first list. And he goes, oh, I knew you wouldn't get any farther. I said, you been anywhere? He goes, well, no. I said, why don't you go look first?
Yeah.
And, you know, out of the 17 things or 20 things that he had given me to do, I only had like five left.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do some of them.
Without the proper material.
Without the material. And, you know, I'm not going to sit around and not do anything. It's here to be done, and I'm here to do it the best I can so that it's worth it for you, mm-hmm. for to have me here.
Mm-hmm. You're not just there to punch a clock and fill the hours.
Right.
And get paid for it. And
if we don't instill that seriousness, that dedication to doing the best that you can,
mm-hmm.
see, participation is fine.
Yep.
If you did the absolute best that you can do, then you're a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go with that. But there's always going to be somebody who can do it better.
Not to mention, and so there's times where you'll do the best that you can do and you still lose as far as the actual rules of whatever go.
Right.
And you have to learn to accept that because you can take it one of two ways. You can get pissed off and mope about it, or you can go, I want to aspire to beat that person or do better than that person next time. How can I get to that point?
Right. Because
how can I better myself? Where did I go wrong? Or what did I do that could have affected me negatively?
Right. Or am I not cut out for this?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I should pursue something else.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that exact phrase because that exact phrase is perfect. You and I worked together at the computer repair store way
yes.
back when. And we both are self-taught in this field. I have certifications that I pursued after the fact just so I'd have
well,
a
piece during of paper. During, I mean, you were doing yeah. it during, but yeah.
I mean, but I did it not because I needed to go, I didn't need to go learn those things. I knew it. I did it to get the piece of paper thinking that piece of paper would benefit me. Now, there's a whole other precept or aspect behind that. But ultimately, what it came down to is that we had a period of time there where we didn't have any quote-unquote certified technicians working at the shop. They weren't A-plus certified. Now, to bring A-plus certification into more English terms, it literally is the bare minimum certification you can get.
Right.
And literally, you can get it strictly off reading a book. You don't have to actually know how to do anything, nor do you have to actually be able to do anything. As long as you can read a book and you can answer questions out of that book, the way the book wants you to answer them, you can pass the certification test. I know this because I'm pretty sure I still hold the record at Heald College for the fastest time of completing said test.
That's funny.
I literally, in like 12 and a half minutes, I completed the two separate portions of this test. They're, I think, either 60 or 90 questions apiece. So, but I took the test, I walked back, and she looks at me, she's like, is there a problem with the computer? I'm like, well, no, it's fine. I'm done. She's like, no, you're not. I'm like, I am. And then her printer kicks on, spits out my results. She pulls the results up. She's like, you are done. I'm like, yes, I am. She's like, oh, okay. Well, do you want to reschedule your... Oh, you passed. I'm like, yeah, I passed. And so I got my certification, so on and so forth. But I could answer questions. So we had that whole thing at the shop there for a while. We didn't have any quote-unquote A-plus certified techs. Granted, I will still to this day claim that no matter what, we had one of the best group of techs as far as not saying we necessarily had all the best people in the area, but who we had working there, if you put us up against the competition at that point in time, we had the best repair shop in Portland metro area.
No
period.
Doubt.
No statement. Between the skill set we had, our tenacity, and our willingness, mostly drilled into us by our boss, to go above and beyond for the customer.
Well, that and the boss backing us up
exactly,
100% on whatever choice we made.
Exactly. He wouldn't question it. He knew that we owned.
We may get our ass chewed later, but.
You know, yeah, but he would always, in front of the customer, as far as the customer was concerned, yeah. He backed us fully 100%. And if we cost him money, then we knew it would go a different route and we'd have to get in trouble for it. But we had, and he made a very successful business up until when the computer industry in general took a shit in 2001.
Right.
And he ran it mostly off of high school age kids.
Yeah.
I started there when I was 16.
Yeah.
You were one of the older ones at the time. There was a couple other, guys.
Older guys there.
But I appreciate that because they all took me under their wing and
helped,
whether it be life lessons or actual other lessons.
Oh, we all got along. We all got along well.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I got my job there not because I had an A+ certification.
But because you proved what you could do.
Or because I even went to school in any ability. Mm-hmm. It was, I had a particular skill set with a particular thing. But I wanted to go back real quick, if we could, to what you said about taking the test at Healed.
Mm-hmm.
I went to get my AMA certification.
Mm-hmm.
It's to become a certified window and door installer. Basically, it's a nationwide test that says, yeah, he really does know how to install a door and a window to a certain specification so that it won't leak.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that specification is necessarily the right way to do it.
Well, it's the national...
No, I'm saying...
It's not the only
the
way
to... The best way. How's that?
It's not the only way to do it. It is probably one of the best ways to do it. But it's... I mean, it's nationally recognized.
Yeah.
And it was a two-day test. Well, 2 days class and testing.
Yeah.
So the first day was 10 hours, and the second day was 2 hours and 4 hours to take the test. And right before the instructor hands the test out, I raised my hand and I said, what's the record for taking the test?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, like 19 minutes and some odd seconds. And I said, did the person who handed the test in that fast pass it? He goes, yes, but barely.
Yeah.
I said, has anybody handed it in less than 40 minutes and aced the test? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
I said, got A's? He said, yes. Okay. So I'm there with my employer and five other people from our company at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I handed the test in 17 minutes and 20 seconds. And, it's a 4-hour test.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's the allotted time that you get.
Yeah.
So I handed it in, and I left. And one of my coworkers said later, he goes, you walked up there and handed that test in. I was on question 20. Now, and then I got my test back. I scored a 98 on it. I missed two questions.
Yeah.
Big deal. But what you said about if you can answer questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really... And I hate to be, self-righteous jackass, but I'm really good at my job and I really give a crap.
Yeah.
And I'll go way above
and
beyond what I need to do to make sure that it's done correctly.
And I'll vouch for that because you've actually pulled my ass out of a few fires when it comes to construction stuff. And I know, and you've always been very honest with the fact of, okay, here's this, but you really should do this. You can,
right.
You can, here's the bare minimum, but...
right, yeah.
And I've watched you do it with people who aren't your friends, too, so.
All it takes in the state of Oregon to become a contractor is to go down to the state and take the CCB license test.
Yep.
The classes, 16 hours of education, cost you $130 for at-home study. The test is open book. I could give the book to Jody. She could study it for 2 weeks. And she doesn't know anything about construction. She could go down, take the test, and since it's open book, she could pass it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jody cares about her work. She would learn how to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all it takes to get a contractor's license in this state.
Mm-hmm. And that's,
you don't have to know a thing about being a contractor or how to build anything.
Yep.
And so, anyway. That kind of irks me that,
Well, but that's, and that's part of the reason why I am the way I am with the kids because, you can do this and you can get by with that, but.
There's doing this and getting by with that.
And there's actually,
And there's caring enough to do it right.
Exactly. So like with the A+ certification test, there was, literally it was, I went to school because I wanted to get some other stuff. I wanted to get my actual college degree and a few other things with it. But literally with the A-plus test, the same thing. You would take this, you get this book, so you get the curriculum, you spend a certain amount for the curriculum, and you pay a certain amount for the test, and as long as you can answer it as per the way the book lays it out,
you're golden.
You're golden. Here's the real pisser about this. So you and I know how quickly technology advances. So at the time you're taking your test, if you're, like at the time I was taking it, it was, we were in the transition between 98 and XP.
Right.
So
about the time.
Or not 98 XP, but 98 Windows 2000-ish. Windows 2000 just come out, which was going to be the predecessor to XP and the way things work.
Just before the Pentium 3s came out.
Exactly. But that's getting a little too geeky for some people. But ultimately what that means is, I was answering Windows 95, 98, and DOS questions in a period of time where I needed to know NT-level stuff and various other things, but that curriculum was not ready yet.
Right.
So I was still doing the old-school stuff. Now, is it a bad thing to know the old-school stuff? No. But I was still, it was strictly book answers. And there were certain answers in the book that were correct-ish, meaning if everything happened in that exact scenario, in that exact manner,
right,
then technically that question is correct. But it's like a point zero 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 zero. You've got a better chance of, you know, having two Playboy bunnies come walking down the street and offer to bed you for free and do anything to you that you want them to and do anything to them that you want to do, then that particular set of circumstances happening. Exactly. Right. So it's all fine and dandy. So so Scott got kind of panicked when we didn't have any text there and we had enough people complaining about it. So he decided to do what any good business owner would do. He responded to his customers. We hired an A-plus certified tech. I was currently attending high school, working part-time. This guy was a full-timer, making more than I was because he was a quote-unquote certified tech, even though he had less seniority, less time on the job, et cetera, et cetera. And he literally had no other history with computers outside of, I got interested in it, so I took my A-plus test. I got more work done in the 4-hour shifts a day
than I got done in all day.
Yeah. In 2 days, number one. Number two, the clincher for me was, I sit there one day and I'm in the middle of this just god-awful fucking computer. It was horrible and I'm working on it. I'm trying to get this stuff worked out and fixed up. And he'd been bugging me the entire fucking night, asking me questions. And we had him doing inventory. He was literally doing inventory and he couldn't figure this shit out. And finally he walked up to me. He's holding this thing in his hands. He goes, "What is this?" And I took a look at it. I looked at him. I'm like, And I kind of chuckled. I'm like, "Right, buddy. Okay." And I go back to work. Taps me on the shoulder again. "What is this?" And at this point, I'm like, is he still trying to fuck with me?
He's just still trying to game me.
Or okay, whatever. I'm busy, man. Sorry, I got stuff to do. He's like, "No, seriously, what is it?" And then I at the point, I'm like, he seriously doesn't fucking know. I turn around and look at him, and I pulled like that Bad Santa scene. I'm like, "Are you fucking with me? Really? No, seriously. Look me in my eye and tell me you don't know what that is." He's like, "I don't." I'm like, "But you've got an A-plus certification." He's like, "Yeah, they got a copy of our file here at the office." I'm like, "Okay, so once again, look me in my eye, and with a straight fucking face, you tell me you don't know what the fuck that is." He's like, "I don't know what that is." I'm like, "Why the fuck are you working here?" And he just kind of looked at me. I'm like, "It's a fucking motherboard. The base to all computers that everything else plugs into." And the reason he didn't know what it was, there were no PCI slots on it. And once again, that's getting kind of geeky, but there's a certain kind of plug-in.
It was all ISA.
Mm-hmm. It was an older motherboard. Oh, God. So because it didn't look the same as the ones he'd seen in the pictures in the book,
oh,
had no fucking clue what it was. Didn't use any, once again, lack of common sense.
Right. No outside the box. No outside extrapolation. The box,
no extrapolation, nothing. So I grab it from, I was pissed. And I was a cocky teenager. And I was already I was already upset because somebody else there was making more than me off the fact he had a certification, even though I knew I could do better work than him. And I yanked the fucking thing out of his hands and I walked back and I threw it down in front of Scott, our boss. I'm like, "All right, what is that, Scott?" Scott, being a PC guy but not a tech guy, a hardware guru, he goes, "What the fuck on a motherboard? Looks to be..." And he even called up the generation it was. He's like, 386, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's an old one." He's like, what do we have this dinosaur for?" I'm like, "I don't know. We probably pulled it out of an upgrade from a while back." I'm like, "Your A-plus tech had no fucking clue what that was." And you know Scott, that point he gets to, where this guy who's like literally Jewish and all of colored skin drains. The color just drains from his face and he went like pasty white. He's like, what excuse me?" I said, "Your A-plus fucking certified technician that's making more per hour than I am has no fucking clue what that was till I told him what it was." I said, mind you, he interrupted what I was doing to ask me this question about what that was. How much confidence do you have that certification now, Scott? And the next thing I know, he's like, okay, get out. I'm like, okay. It was that business tone he got, right? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm out. And the guy got, the guy was let go immediately. But it's that whole thing of, yes, you can teach people to do this bare minimum or whatever, or put this little bit of effort in there, but it doesn't mean they know anything or can do anything. And this is literally what we're going to start teaching our kids now, is that
you don't have to do stuff on time.
You don't have to put any effort into it. You don't need to learn.
Yeah, you can do it at your own pace.
This is how people in my industry get killed. The industry that I sell to, electrical utilities, complacency is where they get killed, because these people are dealing with deadly voltage level, well, not even the deadly levels of electricity. And it's when people get complacent. If you're ever curious about it, ask. You know, there's a couple of safety classes you can take that are put on by a guy who's worked in this field as a lineman and other things for a long time. And some of the pictures he will show you.
Oh yeah.
Or just like you've watched Terminator, right? T2. The thing gets frozen. His arm snaps off.
Yeah. Shit happens.
There was a guy that had attempted to steal copper from a substation, decided to cut one of their main BPA feed lines that came in.
His arm didn't break because it was frozen. It got burnt off.
Mm-hmm. And it was still attached
mm-hmm.
to the clippers as he's laying there in a charred cart on the floor with that. Shit like that. That's how these things happen, because he, you know.
You don't know what you're doing, you think it's not going to get you.
You don't know any better. Yeah, you don't think to put two and two together.
Yeah.
There's a reason there's a fence around this fucking place, or there's, you know.
Yeah.
It's like even lineman. The guy that does these safety classes I attended, he actually was in an accident that cost him his marriage, cost him full use of one of his hands, cost him a lot of things because he got complacent one day and was short a special cover they put over one of the bushings on a transformer, and this is like, it's not a big deal. I'm not going to be messing with that particular phase of this transformer anyways. I'm over on this side. But then he had to reach over here to get something and just brushed it.
And
he was the quickest path around. And this was like a 75 kV transformer. So there was a ton of voltage and amps that ran through him. The fact that he was actually standing there talking to me that day was a miracle in and of itself.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I have that too. You know, I every time I turn on one of my big saws,
yeah,
my chop saw or my table saw, I cringe
mm-hmm.
because I know what they'll do to me if I'm not paying attention.
Yep. It's like teacher that's missing three fingers in class tells you to be very fucking careful with the saw. You better listen to him because he knows why.
Because he knows what you're talking about. And you've mentioned my vice grip,
uh-huh.
you know, my kung fu grip.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you're not supposed to tell anything that personal, Chris. Jesus. Just because I enjoy that kind of thing doesn't mean you need to go splend that off of the podcast. Jody doesn't even know yet.
That's one of the reasons my grip is the way it is, because I'm not like deathly afraid of my saws.
Mm-hmm.
I know that if my hand slips while I'm operating it, I'm going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
And I always thought it was all that masturbation you did back in high school.
Well, there's
got that kung fu grip for a reason.
There's that, you know, but milking that python is
python, the earthworm. All right, but no, I mean seriously, that is the condition that your kids are being held to today. I mean, if you were just strictly go by the state standards,
if you let the state continually mandate,
the thing is, there's so many people to do.
Well, yeah, nobody participates with their. They just send them to daycare.
Yeah, it's not their. You know,
is daycare.
They
now.
Squatted this kid out, but it's not their problem to deal with. It's the fucking world.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we're getting a little long on the tooth. So we'll call it a good closing point there. Chris, once again, I want to thank you for coming out here and saving the ability for us to record this episode. And you know, it's not the short trek you had to take to get here to where I'm at.
Yeah, it's all right.
I know.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
Jody, for your nasally whiny voice that I wouldn't have got to other hear otherwise. Get well soon, girl.
Yeah. And so in general, we just want to say thank you again for listening. We are available online at www.badparentingpodcast.com. You can send us an email to grounded@badparentingpodcast.com. We are available on Twitter. You can find us at @badparentpcast. If you look for us on Facebook, we're there as well too. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn. Or, you know, once again, I'm going to ask this, and you know, even your podcast, I know you listen to the podcast and you still haven't done it yet, you little bitch. call and leave us a voicemail. Shoot us a text. We have a phone number here set up for just for those kinds of occasions.
Woo!
Yeah, 503-609-0375. And if you get us there, we will actually, you know, you can leave a voicemail. You can give us a show topic. You can let us know. Let's say you disagree with something we said. You know, you can let us know and say, hey, look, you need to do this. And so to close it all out here, I gave you a task at the beginning of the show that Jody normally handles.
Oh,
did you
yeah.
actually do that?
What am I supposed to do here again?
You just select two. It's the creative cussing
bastard
book.
Scrub.
So is that the one you want to roll with? Because that's kind of weak sauce compared to what Jody normally does.
Yeah.
So I mean, if that's what you want your out you want to be for your outro, and just you want to be, you know, you want to do the bare minimum, Chris, and you just want the 13 pieces of flair, then that one's okay. But if you actually want to make it worth something,
wench ball sack.
I like it. And on that, this is Justin trying to say, or this is Justin saying, try not to be shitty parents. Anything you want to add?
No.
All right. Have a good week, guys. All right. Have a good week, guys.
See, you got no bottom, so you take you down a hill.
It's all done now. Here it goes.